Baby, you are gonna go broke showing turkeys like these.
Now we're talking turkey.
Gobble, gobble, motherfucker.
It's turkey time. Gobble, gobble.
The luck of the Irish is being packed and shipped to a little town in South Dakota, whose luck may have just run out.
My ear! He got my ear!
You got the back door, right?
No!
You gotta stop the bleeding. Look out, it's in the cabinets.
Toward the basement.
We're, really scared. Hello? I need the police. This is an emergency.
You can kill anything.
What the hell are you?
You just gotta know how to do it.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Let's Talk Turkeys. This is part two, wrapping up our discussion on our St. Patrick's Day movie for this year, Leprechaun. So when we were last here, Tori and Nathan were in the diner. Tori was being a complete bitch about her food and drink options, and Nathan was being as good a gentleman as he could be. They're waiting on Alex and Ozzy to show up. Then we also had at the same time that deputy who pulled the leprechaun over and was mildly assaulted by the leprechaun and took off running. And the leprechaun made chase. So that is exactly where we are. We're going to hop right back into the episode. Please enjoy. We cut to the deputy now running through the woods to get away from the leprechaun, but the leprechaun's hot on his trail. They play some weird hide and seek bullshit. And then after a moment of thinking he's safe, the leprechaun falls down onto him from above in a tree, sits on his shoulders, and snaps his neck. So I'm going with your logic that even having one gold coin was magic enough to give him super strength so he could snap this man's neck.
Well, I mean, guess it's that, or it could be like we're going off of leg strength here. And this is the 90s, and all throughout the like late 80s and early 90s, Suzanne Summers was selling that like thigh thing.
The Thighmaster.
Yeah, the Thighmaster. So it's like you work enough with that shit and like you could probably snap anybody's neck with your thighs.
It'd be a Bond villain.
And we don't know what was in that crate. So that could have been a Thighmaster in there.
He's been doing Thighmaster for a decade. So back at the diner, Nathan proceeds to tell Tori, no offense, but you're a little too skinny. And he tries to give her some meatloaf. She gets disgusted and tells Nathan she doesn't eat cut up dead cow. So she climbs up on her high horse, tells him she doesn't eat meat because she doesn't like to kill living things. She adds a little flair to this statement by saying she feels very strongly about that. Very strongly. Gotta add that pepper on there.
I really wanted him before, because I know he goes off on his little spiel, but before he does that, I was really hoping he was going to do the bitch, you're killing me right now and I'm living.
He reaches under the table, grabs one of her tennis shoes, takes it off, holds it up and says, this is a dead cow. I love it because she's got nothing.
It's actually perfect because there's quite a few people I know that are vegetarians that will do that. And I'm like, that's a damn good point. Like, how many of you people are wearing shoes that are made of leather? Shut the fuck up.
Well, when somebody says they're a vegetarian or a vegan, I do ask them why, because I'm always curious. Is it a moral thing or can you just not tolerate meat products? Because there are people with certain conditions who can't eat meat.
Yeah. Because if it's moral, then it's like, I want to start doing the shoe thing.
And the belts and whatever purses.
Exactly.
Ozzy and Alex just then show up. They come over. Nathan and Tori are like, where were you? Like, they've been gone so long. And Ozzy's like, oh, we were over at that place. And Alex kicks him under the table, like, shut up. Then we get an abrupt cut from that right over to the leprechaun climbing in through a window at Tori's dad's house. A couple of very weird abrupt cuts in this movie. I wonder if, like, maybe the scene went on longer and they were like, nope, we gotta cut it there.
I can see that, because it does feel like there's quite a few, like, editing choices that were not smart.
He starts to tear the place up looking for his gold, and we know that's what he's doing because he's talking about it out loud for our benefit. He comes across a stale box of off-brand Lucky Charms, and it's called Lucky Clovers. And the leprechaun on the box is so weird looking. He's got real pointy features, and he's super tan and has blonde hair. I was just like, surfer leprechaun? What is this? It's clearly supposed to be Lucky Charms.
I didn't catch that it was knockoff because it happened so quickly that I was like, oh, Lucky Charms. They're making a Lucky Charms joke. Okay. I didn't catch the knockoff part.
Oh, no, it's not Lucky Charms. I was like, maybe they didn't have permission to use it.
So it's Lucky Clover?
They're called Lucky Clovers, and the leprechaun's super creepy looking. Yeah, you'll have to look for it next time you watch. He winds up, the leprechaun here, rounding up all of the shoes in the house and lining them up on the table in the kitchen and polishing them all. This weird fucking shoe thing. So then they get back to the house now, and Nathan answers Tori's question. As she's standing there looking at the shoes, Tori goes, what the hell is going on here? And she's even holding a shoe. And the response from Nathan is, well, it could have been a bear. He's talking about the mess in the kitchen, the stale food and the shit thrown everywhere. That's not what Tori was talking about. She was talking about the shoes. He's like, oh, it clearly, you know, could have been a bear. They come down sometimes from the hills. So I looked it up because that's what I do. They are supposed to be in North Dakota. Bears are not common in North Dakota. Very occasionally, black bear sightings happen, but they are very few and far between. They're a migratory breed in that area. So there are not bears running rampant, pillaging people's houses in North Dakota. It's not happening. No.
To be fair, it could be a bear in the case of, like, you know, maybe this bear is just on the wrong side of the tracks. It's had a rough life. Now it's just started ransacking homes, looking for drug money. We don't know this bear's life story.
That's true. He could be hoboing it from state to state on the trains. Yeah, it could be. Could be a hobo
exactly.
Bear. Exactly. So Ozzy, on the other hand, responds to Tori's shoe question by telling her, obviously it's a leprechaun because he said he wanted to shine my shoes when I saw him. Clearly, this is him because he said he was a shoemaker. And I'm like, thank you. Please. Now, is somebody going to listen to Ozzy now? Maybe because he said that.
We got to point out, because I just thought about this now. Before, when everyone's saying he's not smart, Ozzy's the only one to piece this shit together. So this dude's a lot smarter than they were giving him credit for.
Yep. So Tori tries to leave, but chickens out because it's too dark outside. Okay. Nathan and Tori off screen must have cleaned up the kitchen because we suddenly cut to them walking out of a clean kitchen and he's holding a broom. So I guess we're supposed to figure out they did that.
That's what the broom was for.
And then we hear cha-ching, cha-ching, like the little tricycle bell again. And then Ozzy and Alex come around the corner and Ozzy's holding a little bell and making it go off. Cha-ching, cha-ching. I was like, oh, okay. Jump scare moment like they were going for, I guess.
Thinking back on it, it shouldn't have been a jump scare because the car that he had didn't have the bell on it. Only the tricycle did. He left the tricycle back at the shop.
Yeah. Apparently the bells are, this house is lousy with bells because there's one here, one shows up in a little while. So Ozzy and Alex have a conversation about how to kill a leprechaun. And then the bell starts going off again, but it's just sitting there on the table. So nobody's touching it. And Tori and Nathan re-enter the room and they realize nobody's doing the bell noise. Like, it's just doing it by itself. So Nathan goes outside to search around. Why? For what?
It's the standard thing they do in a horror movie. You hear something outside that could be creepy. What do? Oh, I'm going to go look for it.
And he passes a clothesline with clothes on it. Whose clothes are those? They have not been out there for a decade. Yeah, there's no logic to that. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I got nothing. I was trying to think, like, I need to go back and see, like, could it have been clothes left over from the 10 years ago?
There's no way those were
Like,
hanging there for 10 years and they're not weathered and falling off. And I was like, yeah, I call bullshit. So Nathan trips over a bear trap. Again, probably would not have a bear trap sitting out like that because really not any bears.
yeah, I assumed that was the leprechaun leaving that out there.
I think maybe you're right because the leprechaun does come running over and starts this whole song, rhyme, and dance about how he's caught Nathan in the trap just before he can cut him with this little teeny tiny axe. It's like the size of his hand. Nathan hits him with this big flashlight, like big ass, like police issue size flashlight. And they tussle a little bit. And then Nathan kicks the leprechaun down. And this made me laugh so hard because in this one shot from behind the leprechaun, you can see the leprechaun's legs from hip to knee, like his thighs are very long. Warwick Davis's legs are not. And then in another scene, he falls down in front of Nathan, and you can see where his knees are bent. The man has longer hip to knee and knee to ankle, like his calves. You can see that he's completely kneeled down in front of Nathan, and he's got long legs, top and bottom. I'm like, oh, that's bad, you guys. That's clearly not Warwick Davis. Overanalyzing, but it still made me laugh. I was like, you couldn't find a smaller stunt person? Really? You're taking me out
Maybe.
of the believability of this fantasy film, Mark Jones.
I mean, maybe it's just it could have been hard to find someone willing to do it. They're like, no, I'm not doing this stupid ass movie.
So Tori, Ozzy, and Alex all come outside. The leprechaun comes back to reattack Nathan. Tori yells at Ozzy, go inside and call the police. Why you send the lesser-minded person who believes in fantastical things to be in charge of calling the authorities? I don't know.
Yeah, that one bothered me a little bit. That was like, okay, you could have picked anybody else for that job.
Right? Even Alex would have been able to do it. So Ozzy goes inside, calls the police, and is telling them, send the Marines, send the army, send everybody because leprechauns are attacking. Oh my God. Outside, Alex and Tori are beating on the leprechaun. And then Alex runs inside, grabs a shotgun, gives it to Nathan at Nathan's behest. Nathan's like, go get a shotgun. First of all, how does Nathan know there's a shotgun in Tori's dad's house, in the O'Grady house? Has he been to the O'Grady house before? Did he investigate the house when we weren't looking because he was painting?
He was squatting.
But in any event, he knows there's a shotgun in there. So he sends little Alex to go get it. So the leprechaun is pointing out that he's weak and he's having trouble fighting. And I thought to myself, but you were strong enough to snap a grown man's neck a minute ago. Now suddenly you're too weak to win this fight. Like, what's happening?
I'm standing by the Thighmaster because this is upper body strength now. We haven't seen him use upper body strength, just leg strength.
He was skipping arm day, is what you're saying.
Exactly. You do not skip arm day.
So we see at the sheriff's station after Ozzy makes his call, they joke between themselves, the officers, that Ozzy's at it again. Last time it was UFOs, this time it's a leprechaun. And then we see the sheriff, and that's actor William Newman, Turkeyverse connection. He is in Silver Bullet. He's the gas station attendant that bullshits with little Marty.
Oh.
You want me to check the driver's bullshit level? I love Silver Bullet so much. But they don't believe Ozzy. They're like, obviously, he's making it up.
That is the wrong thing to do, is like, especially the whole leprechauns are attacking. No one's going to investigate that.
Right? So Nathan shoots the leprechaun and sends him flying back into the bushes. Ozzy takes Alex away. And Tony, keep right saying Tony because my handwriting's so sloppy.
Well, he did kind of
Tori,
look like a guy.
Tori pries the trap off of Nathan and gets him loose. They run over to the bush and Nathan unloads like five more shots or something willy-nilly into the bushes where he thinks the leprechaun is. Why are
Yeah,
you wasting ammo, bro?
that pissed me off because it's like you don't know how much ammo you're gonna have and you're just gonna unload shit into a bush. That was just because at this point they don't know that the gun can't kill them.
Yeah, that's something I didn't think of. By the end of this movie, I wrote in my notes, it's somewhere, we'll get to it, but I wrote, why did we not make a drinking game out of every time somebody shoots the leprechaun? We would have been drunk by the end of the movie for sure.
Actually, that's a good point because yeah, they shot the hell out of that little guy.
So Tori gets annoyed that Ozzy told the cops it was a leprechaun. So she realizes nobody's coming. They grab Nathan and they go inside the house. Why they didn't jump into a vehicle and take him to the hospital? His leg in a bear trap is clearly way more severe than an animal bite on your dad's hand.
It's horror movie logic. I mean, you know, like, why do you always run upstairs?
True, said about the front door. Tori says, we've got to stop the bleeding. Then we'll get him to the hospital. Whatever. Suddenly she's a triage nurse. So we cut to everyone now getting into the truck. Tori's going to drive, but it won't start. So Alex says, distributor cap. And he jumps out, opens the hood, and finds the leprechaun chewing on all those yellow wires.
Honestly, I would have sent the kid too, because no one gives a shit if he dies. So he's the most expendable person.
I just thought it was funny that the leprechaun is somehow in the engine, down in it. Like, what? How does he fit in there? He's just chewing on the cable wires. Alex gets back in the cab. They lock the doors. The leprechaun climbs on the hood, busts through the windshield, and takes a bite out of Ozzy's ear. Then Tori gets his nose with the lighter, and he backs away. And I always laugh in horror movies when this happens. Mike was watching this with me when this happened, this part. The leprechaun's holding, it's on my nose. And I'm like, why wouldn't you just pull it off your nose?
Yes.
Mike goes, maybe it's so hot it's stuck to his nose, maybe?
Okay, I didn't think about that. But even then, it's like, that's exactly what I wrote down and thought the same thing. It's like, why the hell are you holding the thing to your nose?
Take it off your nose. So stupid. And then he gets pissed and throws it and runs into the barn. The leprechaun comes busting out of the barn on a makeshift-looking metal go-kart of sorts with a pitchfork fashioned to the front of it. What?
Apparently, like, during that 10 years that he was in the basement, he was watching reruns of MacGyver.
Right? Like, what the fuck is this? So he drives straight at the truck, singing Ring Around the Rosie, Pocket Full of Posies. What? Is that a leprechaun origin song? I don't know.
I have no idea.
He rams into the truck so hard, apparently. You don't see it, but it must have been, because he flips that fucking thing over on itself. He rammed the shit out of it, I guess. It didn't look like he was going that fast. And then he says, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Oh, movie.
Ring around the rosy, a bucket full of posy.
I believe it was at this point, because I do not have, like, my notes are in order, but I do not know exactly where I write this stuff down. I believe this is the exact moment that I wrote down. I feel like this movie only gained cult status because of weed.
It's very possible. So they all make a break for the house. Nathan is running just fine on his injured leg, if you pay attention. Just as the door shuts, the leprechaun manages to get his arm in, and shutting the door manages somehow to lop off his entire hand at the wrist. What?
This always bothers me in horror movies when shit like this happens. There's scenes and, like, all kind where things that should not be able to kill people or amputate a body part does it. And I'm like, okay, I've been in these situations. It doesn't work like that.
Right? I know somebody, I've seen them get their arm at the wrist slammed in a car door and it didn't pop off. There's no way this old rickety wooden door lops his hand off.
No.
So the hand now, again, more weird shit, manages to defy gravity and climb right up and open the doorknob. And then, what's he got, spider stick on his fingers? Spider, how can he climb up that, that door?
It's magic. It's either magic or it's because the lucky clovers were just so rotten that it just got, like, all sticky gooey on his hands.
It crawls outside the door and the leprechaun grabs it, picks it up and runs off. And if you pay attention, these are big hands that they have on the leprechaun, on Warwick Davis, fake makeup gloves, or I don't know what they are, but they're pretty big. And he's got big hands anyway. But this fake hand that he picks up and holds up is even bigger than that. It's as big as his whole fucking head. I like that. That is not his hand. It's so big. It's like Andre the Giant's hand.
Well, what happened was before they slammed it, it got swollen. So, like, all the blood, like, rushed into the hand, like in a cartoon. So it just, like, blew up.
Oh, my God. Back inside now, Tori remembers she has that cell phone. She calls it a portable in her purse. She calls the police and states it's an emergency at the O'Grady farm. Please send help right away. Nothing about a leprechaun, probably a good idea. Then the battery dies, should the call gets disconnected. But that's fine because she got through at least. Then we cut to the sheriff calling the dead deputy's car, and the leprechaun imitates the voice, which we know he can do because we saw him do that with Mrs. O'Grady in the beginning. And he says, no problem, I'll respond. And then we see he's sitting in the car with the dead deputy whose neck he snapped, but his face is like covered in blood. I'm like, what? I guess it's from when he grabbed his face earlier.
I didn't get that either because it didn't look like he did anything that could cause bleeding. Broken neck, you're not going to bleed from the eyes or nose or anything.
And also, he snapped his neck deep in the woods. He'd been chasing that guy into the woods. So we're meant to believe that he hauled that guy's body all the way back to the car just to set him in the car. Why? We would see him. That's the only reason why.
Yeah. It's like none of this movie makes any sense.
So Tori, back at the house, is patching Ozzy's ear up with a bandage. And he goes, I bet that leprechaun made a boot out of my ear. Okay, first of all, sir, he did not take that much of your ear. He took a little nibble.
Yeah, like that'd have to be a pretty fat ear to make an ear, make a boot out of it. And that's not working.
Ozzy accidentally during this mentions the gold that he and Alex found. Tori strong arms Alex into talking, like literally.
It's like the only time that I was like, good for her being a bitch. Smack that little shit around.
Yeah, she grabs him by the arm and yanks him over. And I'm like, oh, calm down. But she's upset. Alex says, yeah, we found the gold. He mentions fixing Ozzy's brain with the gold that they found. She says to him, you know, you can't do that, right? That's not a thing. And Alex says, this is why I had you put a pin in it earlier. Well, he doesn't know that. Ozzy doesn't know that. I'm like, it was your idea in the first place. Ozzy, that never crossed his fucking feeble mind until you said it.
That's why I hate the kid.
So Tony, again. So Tori says, let's give the leprechaun his fucking gold and he'll leave us alone. Like, problem solved. Alex says, okay, we hit it in the well. Somebody's got to go get it. She takes a shotgun, which she admits she's never used before, and goes outside to get the gold. There's a green glowing light in the well. Did you notice that?
I thought, yeah.
Sewage and sludge that's radioactive in the well. Don't drink it.
That's where the ooze went.
Ah, secret solved. Leprechaun vanish. So she cranks the well handle, grabs the gold, and it's not a bucket of gold, a pot of gold. No, it is a sack, a little sack. And it so annoys me that he always calls it my pot of gold because it's not a pot. The leprechaun magically appears out of thin air. She gives him the gold. He makes a big production out of, thank God you gave me the gold, all is well, blah, blah, blah. Kisses her on the cheek, I guess, because you can't really see it. It's kind of obscured. And then we get a sound effect, like a sound. So I was like, did he kiss her? What was that? Did you catch that? Any of that?
I thought he was licking her. I couldn't tell exactly what it was.
And then she's running away from him and she keeps turning her head and looking back and she's running toward the house. And again, her mouth is not moving. And we hear her say, crying and making noises and being like, oh God, oh God, oh no. And her mouth doesn't move at all. Yet again. So then the leprechaun is sitting by the cop car, dead cop still inside. He parked it over near that truck where the gold had been hidden, the beat up rundown truck, and his little tiny car that he drove all the way from town. He's got this little like parking area now. And he's counting his gold and he makes it to 99 and he realizes one is missing. He gets very upset and he says quite declaratively, no one steals a leprechaun's gold. I do not think that phrase means what he thinks it means because clearly you can steal a leprechaun's gold. People have done it. O'Grady did it.
Apparently it's not hard to steal it. It's just hard to keep it because the leprechaun's going to hunt you down.
People steal it and they continue to steal it for decades to come as the franchise will show us. So
yes,
clearly it can be stolen. So inside, everyone's getting ready to go to the hospital and we hear voiceover of Tori telling Alex, why don't you go grab some ice for Ozzy's ear? We see them gathering by the door and they're getting ready to go out the door to go to the hospital. But she sends Alex for ice for Ozzy's ear. I'm like, why? Solely so that we can get a jump scare. Because Alex goes to the refrigerator and when he opens it, the leprechaun leaps out and tackles him. Jump scare. I want me gold. Where's me gold? Nathan grabs the leprechaun and tosses him at the stove. I cracked up when he just flings him off. I had to watch it like 3 times. And the leprechaun manages to knock the teapot off the hot burner. They were heating up water for tea. And his hand gets stuck to the burner. And he does the old Three Stooges bit where he has to take a spatula and pry his hand off the hot burner. My question in all of this was, they were about to tip the fuck out the door moments ago. They were going to leave with the stove on? Somebody needs to be in charge here. This is a problem.
That I didn't even catch that. I didn't even think about that, but that is a damn good point. They probably should have turned the damn stove off. Okay. Okay. Wow. I can speak from experience that your hand does not get stuck to the stove when you touch the hot burner. I know for a fact that does not happen.
Okay. That's a story for another time, but I want to hear it. Also, the second you touch something hot, I've touched hot pans on the stove, and you immediately, the second you feel something start to even burn, you pull your hand back. Like it's an instinct. He just leaves his hand on there to sizzle.
Okay, there is not like an immediate response all the time. Sometimes there's like maybe 2 or 3 seconds before you pull it back. Again, but that's a story for another time.
He has to leave it there so he can give us the amazingly hilarious line of, "We're cooking now, kids." Okay, it can't all be golden, but he tried.
Oh, that's a bad pun.
Gold. Tori says, "Oh God, he's in the cabinets," because he disappears suddenly. So Nathan grabs a gun and they play hide and seek with the leprechaun in the cabinets. When they open the last one, a drawer opens up right at Nathan's crotch and the leprechaun's hand comes out and squeezes Nathan's dick.
I mean, he was searching for gold, but he found jewels.
All right. So Nathan yelps when his junk gets grabbed, obviously, but he shoots at the drawer. With this shotgun, he doesn't really back up, and it's fucking right in front of his dick, and he shoots.
Well,
but then the leprechaun appears behind them. So the leprechaun wasn't even in there anyway.
No. I mean, he probably wasn't worried about it because he knows how big he is. So he's probably like, well, I'm not going to blow anything off. It's not like it's that big.
So the leprechaun is over behind Ozzy and Alex. Clearly, he's got like almost full leprechaun strength magic back because he's bebopping around the room.
Yeah, which is kind of funny how it doesn't seem like much has changed from when he didn't have magic.
Yeah. Fast and loose with their own rules. That's what I'm telling you. So he vanishes now, and then we get leprechaun vision, his POV, as he's sprinting through the house yelling, "You never can catch a leprechaun!" Again, clearly you can, because that is the conceit of this entire motion picture. You got caught in the beginning. What?
I kind of feel like there should have been a point where after him saying all this stuff, Nathan, or like maybe this is why they didn't have the dad, because the dad could have like picked him up and put him on his knee and say, "Okay, listen, champ, obviously we stole your gold and we have caught you. So your logic is flawed."
Very flawed. So the leprechaun comes down the chimney, makes a bad Santa Claus joke. Nathan shoots at him. At point blank range again in the head. And we see a shot with green slime running out on his forehead. But then he pops up for a jump scare and runs off. In the hall now, Tori and Nathan are there. Though we see the leprechaun roll back and forth on a skateboard in different poses like 4 times. It's so stupid. And it's like Nathan's got to be out of ammo by now.
Yeah, like that was one of those things that this is definitely movie logic, because you shot your whole wad at this point. You were done, man. You've lost bullets.
Hey, Hey everyone, I'm Shelley.
And I'm Eric.
And we're the hosts of Gruesome and Unnatural, a true crime podcast about murder, cold cases, missing people, and just unnatural.
Join us every Monday where Shelley tells me gruesome stories that absolutely with me.
Yeah, subscribe and listen on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing over $3 right now on the website trulyuniquejewelry.com. The website is now clearing out all of their inventory to make room for the new. Nothing over $3. Everything from necklaces, rosaries, rings, earrings, bracelets, extra extender chains, earring backs, every little thing you would need for your jewelry box, including gift boxes, all on clearance prices. So hop on over to trulyuniquejewelry.com. That's TRULYYOUNIQUE jewelry.com. It's one flat rate for shipping, so fill that box or envelope as full as you can with everything on the website priced under $3. That's trulyuniquejewelry.com. And now, back to the show. So they all run back into the kitchen. Nathan reloads, and they think they hear him outside of a window below, like that he maybe went in the basement and escaped out of a window. But then the leprechaun pops up through the floor, runs down to the basement after Nathan shoots him again. The leprechaun calls on the phone, the house phone, and Tori answers it, and he demands his missing gold. Tori rips the phone off the wall, super smart. She clearly does not do well under pressure, this girl, at all.
No.
The phone is on the floor and it starts to ring. So Tori picks up the receiver. As you would do, I suppose. And this little gross, like, toy prosthetic little fake hand pops up out of the receiver and reaches at her face. And all I could think of was Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm your boyfriend now, Tori.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
It's so stupid.
Oh.
Tori yells out, "We've got to give him his gold." Ozzy interrupts and says, "I know what the leprechaun wants. He's after his last piece. And it's in my stomach. Wah, wah." Tori says, "All right, we got to figure out how to stop him. Why don't you just tell the leprechaun, look, bro, give him 19 hours and he will shit your coin out." Well, it's coming out.
We're hoping he can shit it out. I mean, just because he was able to swallow it doesn't mean he can get it out. That's a big coin to pass.
Yeah, you think he'd be in pain if it got like lodged in his intestines or some shit?
Yeah.
Why isn't he at the hospital getting it removed or getting his stomach pumped or something? Like, what? Why didn't they handle that?
That coin was big enough. It was a miracle he didn't choke to death swallowing it. But the fact that it's inside of him, he probably needs to get it surgically removed.
Yeah, it's not safe.
No, this is a serious medical issue. It's like this movie needed to be stopped and everyone needed to be like, hey, let's get Ozzy to the hospital first and then we can come back and do this.
So Tori says, "We've got to figure out how to stop this leprechaun." Ozzy says, "O'Grady would know. This is all happening because of him. He would know." Nathan mentions here, well, he had a stroke about 10 years ago, and he's been in a facility in town ever since. I was like, mind blown. Okay, that is why they mentioned the voiceover of the stroke early on. And again, the man's alive. He still owns this property. Or did until they sold it, I would think. Why did they sell it? Why did he have no relatives that could come pick up personal effects? And what? It sat abandoned for a decade? What?
Why didn't he hire someone to burn the fucking leprechaun?
Right? Because he's clearly of his right mind. He just had a stroke, but he talks to Tori later. So they hatch a plan now to escape the leprechaun by taking a box of shoes outside, and on their way to the Jeep, they will start tossing shoes to distract the leprechaun. He starts running around, picking up all the shoes and shining them as Tori alone hops in the Jeep and takes off. The men stop tossing shoes and run back inside the house. My question was, once he gets done shining these shoes, he's coming back in the house, coming for them. So what's their next step here in defending against the leprechaun?
Okay, you're going to send the one person to go and talk to O'Grady, where it's like, okay, why
not? That doesn't know him.
Yeah, it's like, why not everyone pile in the truck, take off, you can drop off a couple people maybe at the police station or the hospital and then be like, okay, now the rest of us are going to go talk to Orgra. So it's like,
So Tori is driving down this deserted road, and then we see from behind a green fake CGI light, and the leprechaun magically appears hanging on the back of the Jeep, Back to the Future style. But instead of a skateboard, he's on roller skates. Okay. First of all, what? But second, why wouldn't you just make yourself appear in the fucking back seat of the Jeep? What?
I'm assuming because he's insane. He doesn't think about what he's doing.
No, not a good plan at all, in my opinion.
No.
So the shot that immediately follows this, as soon as we see him appear holding on the back, we cut to, and I sent you a screenshot of this, and I will share it on social media for everybody to see because I'm not crazy. I even did a video of it. It's 4 seconds long. A shot from the side, driver's side looking in, of Tori driving this Jeep with no steering wheel. It's a shot of her with her hand up and then the other hand on the gear shift or whatever. And there's no steering wheel. The only thing I could think was they felt somehow they needed a close-up shot of her driving the Jeep. I don't know why, because who cares? We knew it was her in the Jeep, right? The only thing I can think is they wanted to do the close-up shot and they were like, don't worry about it. We'll fix it in post. We'll put the steering wheel in. And then they forgot.
I have no idea. I didn't even catch that. I've seen this movie so many times over the years and I've never once caught that.
Because it's literally 4 seconds. But why? Why would they bother having to show her? Like, we saw the far shot of her, what's supposed to be her in the Jeep. We knew it was her. You got to go back and look now, though. It's so fucking funny. No steering wheel.
I'll have to check it out. I don't think they ever expected a day where people would be able to sit back and be like, pause this stuff to the point where they can pick it out and be like, oh, you guys screwed up.
Well, they were clearly, she wasn't driving anything. They were clearly towing, you know, pulling the car and filming. But I thought, why include that shot then? Who cares? Okay. So Tori makes a sharp turn and the leprechaun gets flung off the back of the Jeep and rolls right through a nearby picket fence, leaving a leprechaun shaped hole in the fence, and then climbs back through the hole and skates off on his little skates at sped up double time footage yet again. You've got magic. Why?
I have no idea. None of this. At this point, I believe the movie just basically made me dumber. And I was just sitting there like, what the hell is going on here?
So Tori arrives at the facility where Mr. O'Grady has been staying. Did you catch the name on the building when she pulled up?
I thought I saw something and I meant to go back and look at it again and catch it because it looked like it was a gag of some kind, wasn't it?
So the name of this place is CHILLVIEW, all one word, center. Chillview Center. Because your view is so chill? I don't know. What? Chillview? He's had a stroke and now he's just chilling? What? That's so stupid.
Oh my God, that's bad.
You lost IQ points, didn't you?
Yeah.
So it's pitch dark outside at this point, and the building looks closed. It's dark inside. But no, she gets in and sees the security guard asleep at the front desk. She sees a clipboard that says right on it in big bold letters, room numbers. What luck. It's just sitting there. So we see her grab this real quiet, runs her finger down the list. Oh, Grady. Okay, got it. No room numbers listed next to anybody's names. It's just a list of names.
So we know O'Grady's there. We just don't know where. Now she can explore.
Yep. She goes exploring because she goes down several hallways and looks in lots of doors and doesn't find him. She then lands on what she assumes is O'Grady's room. She sees the back as we're like the camera's right next to Tori's head. So we are seeing the same thing she's seeing. She sees the back of a person with an obviously terrible wig on their head, probably the same wig that O'Grady had on in the beginning. And they're sitting in a wheelchair with their back to her. No legs. This person sitting in this chair, there are no legs in view coming down out of the wheelchair. O'Grady is a man who's almost 6 feet tall.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, she's looking right at him, and you can see the bottom of the wheelchair. There's nobody's legs hanging off of it. But she doesn't notice that and gets duped. Is your mind blown now?
Now I'm a little bit like, okay, that's actually pretty clever. I did not catch that.
Yeah. So she starts spouting off, O'Grady, the leprechaun's alive, and we need to know how to kill him. So the leprechaun, mimicking a lowered voice, says, well, there's only one way to kill a leprechaun. And he turns around, and shocker to nobody, it's the leprechaun. And he says, but I'll never tell you. Well, of course not. I'm not going to tell you the one way to kill me.
I kind of feel like this was a good segment to be in the movie. It kind of makes sense. It's like, okay, this is kind of like a cool little like scary scene and such. But I kind of also feel like the whole hospital scene could have been cut, or they could have cut something else out. Because by this point in the movie, I was getting to the point like, all right, let's end it already.
So she screams and runs out of the room. The leprechaun makes chase while in the wheelchair, and they speed up the footage so that he's going double time. Oh my God. Is it just because Warwick Davis couldn't do things really fast when he was all cumbersome big outfit on and the shoes and everything? He couldn't move fast in this outfit, maybe?
I'm assuming that's what it is. But even then, it's like, why couldn't you just like, especially with the wheelchair, couldn't you just attach like a string to the wheelchair and pull it really quick?
Yeah, something. Instead, they do this comical speeding up of the footage every time he's doing something that's supposed to be fast. And I'm like, maybe they did it because for comedy? I don't know.
It didn't blend well, because sometimes the comedy did not blend well with the horror. I was like, am I watching basically like Three Stooges, or am I watching a horror movie? What the hell's happening here?
So she makes it away from him to an elevator, and the doors close. And then Mr. O'Grady's upper half of his body shoots out of the hatch above, and he's hanging there all bloody. And she's going, we got to get you down. And he's like, oh, it's too late for me, but nobody believed me about the leprechaun, and you have to kill him. And there's only one way to do it. And she's like, great, tell me. He says, you have to pluck another 4-leaf clover from the patch behind the well at my house, put it on the leprechaun's body, then you can kill him. I went, oh, that's fun, actually. If you touch him with the clover, it weakens him to the point where you could shoot him and it would be fatal, because it like sucks his powers or whatever.
That's not a terrible like thing to add to the myth. I don't know if it's real, but like I said, that's not terrible. I kind of like that.
Yeah, I like that too. It's like, okay, touch him with the clover and it weakens him or whatever, and you can kill him, like shoot him or what have you. That's fun. Okay, great. There could be lots of ways we can kill him now, but you know, Nathan's favorite is the gun. So yeah. Why not?
The only thing, only issue I do have with it is it does kind of feel like the clover thing is throwing a little too much, like, oh, well, clover's Irish.
That's what I'm saying. They're fast and loose. They're like, oh, what sounds good? Let's throw that in. So then we cut to Tori racing back to the farm in her Jeep. We get a quick shot of the leprechaun in the wheelchair on the open road, making chase at double time. Like so many things in this movie, I went, why? You're magic. Why? For the love of God, why? She gets home, hops out, starts rummaging through this obviously fake staged little clover patch. You can see where the brown dirt, a lot of it has been spray painted green.
Yes, it looked very, very fake. But it was so I will bad. I'll give him credit with the intensity that she's looking, and then the music and the, like the drama. It was the most intense gardening scene I've ever seen in a movie.
Extreme gardening. You'd watch it.
Well, it depends. I like, you know, how extreme do they get?
So the leprechaun interrupts her search. She runs off screaming. He chases her on foot, which seems futile, honestly, because they don't speed up his running. So she's way ahead of him. She sees the cop car, gets in it, then sees the dead deputy sitting there. No. Really?
It almost felt like we should have had the dead deputy scene not happen. That way, this would have been a shocker moment of like, oh shit, the deputy's dead.
Right? And yeah, we get the scene earlier too, where he, not only does he kill him, but then he drags him back to the car and props him up in there. So we know he's in there. So I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Or yeah, even cut out like a part of it. Like, okay, you could have still killed the deputy, but then don't show that scene later. So she's thinking, oh, this is another cop. Boom, it's the deputy.
Yeah. So the leprechaun shows up, Tori puts a nightstick in his eye. And again, he backs up holding the nightstick. And I'm like, take it out of your eye, dipshit. And his eye, when he does pull it off, is black and bruised around his eye. But we can see his eyeball. His eye is intact. But instead, he decides magic can't heal his eye. So he reaches in and pulls out one of the cop's eyeballs and just shoves it on his face like he's putting the eye in his eye, in his head. Like, it makes no sense.
I think what happened, the way I interpret it, was
a reshoot for gore.
Yeah, I think it was a reshoot. I think it was supposed to be, the eye was supposed to be gone, but they just didn't do it right or something. And he was replacing the eye, but it didn't pan out right. Because, yeah, I was confused by that. Like, okay, you've already got an eye. Why are you taking the new eye?
I feel like it was a reshoot for gore, just to watch him reach in and pull an eyeball out of the cop, you know, because it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Nathan now shows up, shoots the leprechaun. This is where I wrote in my notes. This was the moment when it finally hit me. Damn it, we should have been drinking every time the leprechaun gets shot. Tori tells Nathan and Ozzy what O'Grady told her about how to kill the leprechaun, and they run off. The three of them start looking for a four-leaf clover. We see Alex take the bear trap. This is so egregious. Oh my God. He takes the bear trap and he's dragging it into the barn, and there's voiceover of him saying, "Please don't be here yet. Please don't be here yet." His mouth is not moving. And then we hear voiceover of, "I know I can get him. I'm not afraid. I'm going to kill him." Still no mouth moving. Then we see the leprechaun's feet sitting up above. He's watching Alex set all this up. Outside, Tori gives up looking for the clover. She's such a defeatist. Ozzy tries to comfort her and gives her a little pep talk. God bless his little heart. She acts like a complete cunt until she finds a four-leaf clover. Oh my God, I found one. Now everything's fine. Now she's not going to be a bitch.
Apparently, the only way to find a four-leaf clover is to be a complete cunt.
Back in the barn, the leprechaun grabs Alex, and just as he's about to put his little head onto the spring bear trap and snap it, Ozzy comes running in and tells the leprechaun, "I have your coin. I swallowed it. Leave him alone." Ozzy runs out of the barn, and the leprechaun chases him, of course. He kicks Nathan's injured leg on the way out of the barn. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And he even says something like, "I got your leg." And he like kicks him in the leg. I was like, you little mischievous fuck. Outside, the leprechaun climbs on Ozzy after falling down, begins slashing his face with one of his shoe buckles. Alex runs out, grabs the gum out of his mouth, puts it inside the four-leaf clover and wads it up and puts it in his slingshot, Chekhov's slingshot. He shoots it directly into the leprechaun's open mouth and says, "Fuck you, Lucky Charms." I don't know why he could say it, but they couldn't show it. Lucky Charms. But
that, you know. Yeah, I didn't get that. I love the line. The line, "Fuck you, Lucky Charms," was awesome. That was just great. I had a problem. The two things I had a problem with was, one is like, okay, wouldn't like rolling the clover up in the gum ruin the whole thing?
That was my thought.
And then how come the leprechaun stood there with his mouth open for like 4 or 5 seconds waiting for the gum to come in? He's like, "Come on, come on, do it. I know you can do it."
Yep, exactly. Leprechaun swallows it, gags, and they all watch as he starts to melt and kind of turn into a skeleton. And we get a mini light show, magic stuff. And then he falls backwards into the well. So my question was, the clover stops him, traps him, weakens his powers, but because he swallowed it, it kills him, because they don't do anything else to him.
I have no idea. I felt like they were pulling from all kinds of different movies, and they're like, "Well, how do we want to like end this? Oh, I got an idea. Let's just fucking rip off Gremlins."
Oh, speaking of movie ripoffs, another one. Here you go. I totally got Creepshow 2 vibes from this puppet of the leprechaun. Comes like a melty skeleton, gross looking thing popping up half out of the well. And in a deep gurgly voice, he's all, "I want me gold." And all I thought was, "Thanks for the ride, lady." You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't even think about that, but yeah, I can see that. I was thinking Gremlins, because I was thinking Stripe, basically, like his yep. death, but I didn't even think about that part.
Yep, same, but also Gremlins. Yeah, I was like, they just pulled from other shit. All right, so Nathan runs over and smacks the leprechaun in the head with the butt of the gun, and then he falls down into the well. He pours gasoline into the well and tosses a match in there and jumps out of the way just as it explodes.
Because as we all know, the way to make a bomb is to mix gasoline and water.
Yeah, right? So then we fade out and the sun is now coming up. And the well is still on fire. All the wood around it, you know, that they built to hold, to bring the bucket up, the whole big crank, all that stuff's all burning down. And what made me laugh was this well is supposed to be made of stone as well as wood. And you can see in a close-up shot, the fake panels of the faux stone peeling off, falling off of the wood that it's attached to. And it's clearly not stone. It looks like an arts and crafts project. It's so bad.
I feel like they really half-assed this movie. Like, where did the $1 million actually go? It went to Jennifer Aniston's nose job.
Oh, my God. So now we see from the distance, three cop cars come rolling up to greet the kids. We see a close-up of the well. We hear voiceover of the leprechaun saying, "I'll not rest till I have me gold." Curse this well. That me soul shall dwell till I find me magic that breaks me spell. Fade to black, the end, roll credits.
Oh my Lord.
Oh, this movie is too much. I mean, oh. God bless anybody that loves it, but I don't think I'll probably ever watch it again.
No, I actually kind of look back on it. I must have been a dumb child.
All right. Anything else? Or do you want to jump to three questions?
Let's go ahead and jump to three questions.
All right. Question one. Have you seen any of the sequels or films in this franchise? And total films, there are 8.
Holy shit. I didn't know they were actually able to milk 8 movies out of this thing. That is ridiculous. I want to say I have seen the second one. I think I've seen the sequel. I don't recall ever seeing anything beyond the sequel.
So we have Leprechaun 2, where he's obsessed with finding a wife. So he sets his sights on the daughter descendant of a relative that does him wrong way back in the 100 years ago in the Dark Ages or whatever. And it's set in modern times. It's okay. You think you saw that one?
I think so. It sounds a little bit familiar, but I'm not 100% sure.
So 3 takes place in Vegas, and he's a statue with a medallion around his neck. And when they take the medallion off, he comes to life.
Never okay. seen it.
4 is Leprechaun in Space, where they jump the shark. He's on an alien planet. And once again, a medallion has frozen him. This one is just bonkers, absolutely bonkers. Like Leprechaun in Space, you would think would be nuts. This will exceed your expectations of that.
I will have to check that one out just because I love how batshit crazy Jason X was. That was just like, what the hell am I watching? So like anytime you throw shit in space, you know it's going to be amazing.
There's a character in this, Dr. Mittenhand. He is absolutely my favorite character probably of any B-movie I've ever seen.
All right, I gotta check
it
out.
You have to watch Leprechaun in Space. It is terrible. All right, so then after that came Leprechaun in the Hood, or in the Hood, with Ice-T. Did you see that one? No?
No, I refuse to ever watch that one.
It's not really that good. Leprechaun Back to the Hood came after that. That's the last entry we get with Warwick Davis playing the Leprechaun. So then we jump to 2014, years later. We get a reboot, an original, they remake the original, basically, and it's called Leprechaun Origins. It's a WWE production, and the leprechaun is played by Hornswoggle, who is a WWE wrestler, Dylan Mark Postal.
Yeah.
It's not related in any way to the other films. It's a complete reboot. However, I have not seen it, but I did watch the trailer. Apparently, it has nothing to do with the other movies. There's no origins. They don't tell the Leprechaun's backstory. Nothing.
Okay. That's weird.
It's dark and it's horror and it's not intended to be funny or campy in any way. Then they jumped to 2018 and they made Leprechaun Returns. This is a direct sequel to the original film, the one that you and I just discussed. Ozzy returns and gets killed in it, of course. Somebody named Lyndon Porco or Porso is the leprechaun. I watched this one and it's terrible. Poor Ozzy. They do him dirty. All right. So you've never seen any of those. Okay.
No, I'm just going over my brain right now. I'm like, they sound like shit, except for the space one. The space one sounds like it's shit, but like fun shit.
Yes. All right. So let's play a little Q&A game here with these real quick. So This first one had a Rotten Tomatoes critic score of 31% and audience of 33%. All the rest of these, I looked up all the Rotten Tomatoes critic score and audience scores to see if they were turkeys. Surprisingly, one of the seven films that followed is not a turkey by actual leaps and bounds. I want you to tell me which one. The critic score is lower than the audience. The audience score is almost double the critic score on this. Which one of the seven sequels is not a turkey?
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Try again.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I thought that's why they went back to the hood. Okay, I got to go with the space one.
Okay, wrong again. You would think, because it sounds bonkers, right? So, two has a critic score of 6 and an audience of 29. Not wow. 2. 3 in Vegas. I watched it also. Terrible. 0 critic score. 35 audience. Space. 17 critics. 20 audience. I had so much fun watching that stupid movie. It was better than the first one, in my opinion. I would rewatch the space one over and over, not this first one.
Huh, okay.
So Leprechaun in the Hood, I also watched. I was not surprised to find that it had 33% critics, 31 audience, very similar to the first one. It's not the best. It's okay. And that's where I stopped. I did not watch Back to the Hood. 20% critic, 30% audience. Doesn't make me want to watch it. Like I said, I watched the trailer for Origins, but I skipped it. Origins, 0% critics, 12% audience. People were not having the reboot.
Okay.
So the movie that was not a turkey was the 2018 direct sequel called Leprechaun Returns with Ozzy. 45% critics, 72 audience.
Wow.
And it wasn't a good movie, I hate to say. And they did Ozzy dirty. Like, it's bullshit how they kill him.
I hate to be the person that, the logical person on that one, but how many movies have we liked that other people didn't like? So,
touche. There you have it. All the Leprechaun movies. I have not watched them all. There's a couple I'm skipping, and that's fine by me.
Yeah, but I gotta be honest. None of them, except for the space one, calls to me. I want to check that one out now.
Oh, please watch it, because Dr. Mittenhand. All I did was talk like him the rest of the night and annoy the shit out of Mike, making jokes and stuff. Hashtag worth it. All right. Question 2. So I did the math on the gold when the pawn shop Joe tells the kids one piece is roughly $500. So if you've got 50 grand in coins that you stole from a leprechaun, his sack, you've stolen the leprechaun's sack. Not his scrotum, but
I was going to say, I was like, that there is a total scrotum joke coming up here. Come on.
What would you do with that 50 grand in gold? Assuming that's what it would be worth. What do you do with that? There's no leprechaun coming after you. So you're fine there. You can spend the gold however you want.
I don't know. I'm like, so there's so much I want to do. I'm probably going to buy a house that's going to be next to a house that has nothing but cats in it.
Buy a plot of land and build a cat sanctuary.
I'm going to have a cat sanctuary. I will call it the Pussy Palace.
Oh my God. I would expect no less from you, sir. spend that money.
I'm probably going to go, you know, blow money on video games and comic books and do stuff like that. Maybe like help some friends out. Actually, no, you know what I'm going
to
do?
Okay. Yeah, 50 grand's not as much as it used to be, bro. Like,
I'm going to invest into a time machine so that I can go back to the 1950s when money was like, you know, like 50 grand would be like, oh my God, that's a lot of money. And then I'm going to buy an entire town.
Okay.
And I'm going to rule that town with an iron fist. I'm going to be like Dr. Doom in the 50s.
King Dave, welcome to my kingdom.
Exactly.
We have a cat sanctuary on the left, comic book store on the right.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm the time machine. I'm going to go back in time and rule.
I fucking love it. I would be boring. I would just pay off debt and buy a new car. All boring adult stuff. Although I might possibly blow $500 on this really fucking rad set of Mad Monster Party collector dolls that I saw on eBay the other day. Because I'm stupid like that.
Well, I mean, come on. That's what we're all going to do. I mean, that's the same thing I'm going to do. I'm going to scour eBay for all the shit that I want from growing up and stuff. I mean, but
yeah,
I'm going to tell the world that this is what I want to do. I want to rule the 50s. The reality is, yeah, no, I'm going to blow it on stupid shit.
Ruling isn't what it's cracked up to be. So question three, this is a movie about a leprechaun, a fake magical, you know, fantastical creature turned into a horror movie, or they tried. It's pretty funny, but they tried. What magical creature, in your opinion, could benefit from a horror movie version? What do you think would be fun to take a magical, mystical creature and turn them horror?
That's a tough one. I've seen them try to do it with dragons. I love dragons. Bigfoot's kind of gotten some horror stuff. I think even the Easter Bunny's got some horror. I think the one thing that never gets any horror that I would just absolutely love to see a horror movie of, it would be cheesy and stupid as shit. But then, I mean, this is me talking, so what do you expect? I want to see a horror movie done about a jackalope.
Oh my God. I love it. Oh, I would want to do like Merman from Cabin in the Woods, or like any of the fake creatures that are on that fucking board when they're doing the betting on with the big board of monsters.
Cabin in the Woods didn't happen.
Maybe. I hated that movie so much. But the Merman would be fucking cool, or a evil Hello Kitty. I would love to see an evil Hello Kitty movie where she goes ape shit and starts stabbing fuckers.
That would be amazing
we could call her Goodbye Kitty and she kills you.
Her catchphrase, kiss this pussy goodbye.
Yes, let's make this movie happen, Hollywood. Hire us.
I can make so many terrible movies.
Right? You and me both. All right, let's wrap this up. So if anybody out there is interested in watching Leprechauns 1, 2, 3, or 4 in space, they're all currently free with your Amazon Prime subscription on Amazon. The rest are all available on Amazon, but they're pay, rent, or buy. But the first four are free if you've got Amazon Prime. Like I said, 1 is okay. It's not the best. You can skip 2 and 3, go right to 4. Space, that's where it's at. And then skip the rest.
If I can find 4, I will check it out.
Yeah, if you've got Prime, it's in there. All right, so I want to thank you for joining me today. Hopefully for, you know, St. Patrick's Day, we'll get this out and everybody will have a good laugh. You and I laughed a lot, so hopefully this wasn't too painful for you.
No, it wasn't that bad. I mean, I'll probably go back and listen to it when you put it out on St. Patrick's Day, and I'll get me a big bowl of our sponsor, Lucky Clovers. They're magically meh.
They're stale as fuck. All right. We want to thank you all for listening. And don't forget that we've got episodes new coming this month on our Patreon as well. That's patreon.com/letstalkturkeys. And on that note, we will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Fuck you, Lucky Charms.
Hey, listeners, Drive-In Dave here saying we know you have a lot of options when it comes to podcasts. So we want to thank you so much for listening to ours. Please be sure to follow us on all your social media platforms. Join us in the Bad Movie Conversation. We're on Facebook with a Let's Talk Turkeys page, as well as a discussion group where you can chat with other people who also love bad movies. We're also on Instagram at Let's Talk Turkeys, all one word. Plus, we're on Twitter with the handle @GobblePodcast. That's
GOBBLEPODCAST. And of course, you can always email us direct at letstalkturkeys, all one word, at yahoo.com.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.